testify. If God's been good to you,
tell him his goodness.
You ought to testify.
Testify.
Can I get a witness?
Tell him his goodness.
Get up,
get up. Testify.
Somebody shout, glory.
Tell him his goodness.
Get up.
Welcome to another episode of the Unscripted Pulpit. It's Austin here with the dynamic duo, the leaders of the pack, the peanut butter to my jelly,
oh,
the straws to my berries, the Cadells, the one and only Mr. and Mrs. Jeremiah and Sarah Cadell. We're so glad you could be with us. Got a wonderful episode planned. We have a great time planned tonight. I don't know where we're going to go. We got a couple different avenues to take. But we trying to think. Housekeeping. That's what we always do first. Housekeeping. Check us out on our website, www.theunscriptedpulpit.com. Also on Facebook at The Pulpit. Find out all about us on there. Sister Sarah has her devotion on there. Pen and Praise, which she does a marvelous job with. And there's also a link to purchase Brother Jeremiah's book that he wrote. All the information that you need to know about us, our contact us information is on there. You can hop on there, give us a call, drop us a line. We would love to talk to you. Whenever we are recording, we put out on Facebook that we are recording live, and there are phone numbers on there. You can call in and be a part of the show. We've had that up and running for a little bit now, so we're just itching for the opportunity to get to talk to somebody. But you can call in, talk with us, ask a question, shoot us a text, smoke signal, carrier pigeon, whatever makes it work for you. I'm going to turn it over to Jeremiah here, let him do a little bit of some opening business with you, and we'll see what the show brings.
Yes, thank you, Austin. I do have my better half on here tonight with us, Sarah.
Yes, I'm glad to be here tonight. Okay, I think what we had planned on for the podcast was talking about our testimony, and somebody mentioned that they wanted to know how we met, our story about how Jeremiah and I met.
We're going to name this episode The Notebook.
So, I will let Jeremiah start, and we may get a phone call. We do get a phone call in the middle of this. Okay, let's go.
Hello, is it Sherry? Is it Sherry? Hello? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Good, good, good. Thank you for calling in to the Unscripted Pulpit. It's Jeremiah. Is this Miss Sherry? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. It's good to have you on here, Miss Sherry. I was just telling my co-host here about you. I said, now Sherry's awesome. She's an awesome lady. She's an awesome lady of God, woman of God. If you'd like to give us your testimony or whatever you want to say, that'd be great. I know a lot about you. Sarah knows a lot about you. Our co-host doesn't. But hopefully you can just give us your testimony.
Well, God has been so good to me. I'm not going to take a
few technical issues there. Don't know what the exact problem is. It might be bad cell service on our callers, and I'm not for certain. We will try to get her back on the line. If you want to get a hold of her, Jeremiah, and just let her know that the phone was breaking up, we'll try to get her back on. It is a constant battle when we are going through the process here of trying to get everything out.
There she is.
Now it's coming back. Let's see what it does. Hold on. All right, Sherry, I'm sorry. We're having some technical difficulties. Can you hear us?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know if it's on our end with cell service on our end or how this is working. It's kind of hit and miss sometimes. But I'll give it back over to you. I apologize it cut you off there. And it done it again. I don't know what it is. Aww. It might be just a matter of a cell service issue. And that's a common problem we have here. We will try one more time. Hold on just one sec. Can you hear me?
Hello.
All right. I think I got you now. We don't know what the problem is there. Hope you can hear us a little better.
Yeah, I can hear you better.
We can hear you a lot better as well. We had to do a little transferring around the phone lines there. I think more than one person was trying to call in, and it was overcrowding the line. So don't know what the problem was. But again, we'll give it back to you. I'm sorry. We'll work the kinks out here eventually.
Okay. I want to spend time with my little child. She was just a few months old, and she was so sick with her stomach. And I had to take her to the Somerset Hospital, and they hooked her up to IV. And I was singing Jesus Loves Me to her, and I was asking for God to save her and let her be alive, you know, have a good life. And all of a sudden, they brought this other woman in there with us. And she had tried to commit suicide. And I was asking God, why, God, are you letting my child be so sick like this when she's really wanted to die? And God said, no, you don't understand this. This is my will for you to be at war tonight. Well, I kept on singing, Jesus loves me. Yes, I know, for the Bible tells me so. And I kept on singing that over and over. And I was praying. And that woman was crying beside of us. There was just a curtain in between us. And the woman said, do you think that Jesus loves me? And I said, yes, he loves you. She said, well, I tried to kill myself tonight because my husband, and my boyfriend, he started beating on me. And I decided I wasn't living, and I wanted to kill myself. And she said, do you think that mommy would forgive me if I called her and tell her about it? And I said, yes, your mommy would be happy to see you. And I said, another thing about that is Jesus will save your soul right now if you just turn your life over to him. Yes. And she got saved right there in that doctor's office that night. She got saved, and God came down and just threw us all with the Holy Ghost. So we just give him praise forevermore. And my daughter's alive today. For all this, I give him praise for all this. Give him praise.
Yes.
And even though my daughter is sick, God used her to make a witness to that woman about how good God didn't want her to take her life, but he wanted her to live for him for the rest of her life.
You know, it goes to prove what kind of God we serve. We had just covered this in another episode about how the things that we go through in our life are not always meant for us, but they might be meant for somebody else.
Right.
And exactly. It's a true testament of your testimony there that, you know, you didn't understand why your child was sick and why you all were going through the issues that you were going through at the time. But even though it was hard on you and that situation and that sickness and the being in the hospital was stressful and it was rough on you, it was hard on you, but your rough patch that you were going through did not compare to the angels rejoicing in heaven to know that the young lady who was fighting the wickedness of her mind and everything, that she might got a glimpse of glory that particular night. I think that's phenomenal. I love that.
That is awesome.
Yes, it was such a blessing.
Yes. I know that I have struggled with depression and different things, and I have found myself at the Dream Center many times.
I've had me a non-snack sock retreat before.
Sometimes I have felt a need for it because it can get crazy in your life and different things, and whenever the world's pulling you this way and that way and back and forth, it can get very frustrating. Just to hold on to God, but if you can just do that just a little bit, it just takes a mustard seed of faith, mm-hmm, to follow after Him. That's all He asks of us. And you know, we talked about this on a previous episode about the sanctuary, and we talked about the rivers that were flowing from the sanctuary, and that the God's minimum that He asks you is the ankle deep. If you can just get ankle deep in following after Him, if you can just get that little ankle deep in that water and follow after Him, He can bless you so much more if you let Him.
That's exactly right.
Yes, I agree.
And we thank you so much, Sherry, for calling in. I was telling Austin, my co-host here, he wasn't familiar with you. I said, I grew up with Sherry my whole life. She has been nothing but sweet and kind and nice to me my whole life.
She has.
And you know, there was a preacher. Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. And you know, if I see Sherry out in public, I'll give her a big old hug. I don't care where we're at or what we're doing. You know, I'm thankful for that because there was a time for me where I needed that love. I needed that hug. I needed that compassionate word. And I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for you, Sherry. You have yourself a wonderful evening. Thank you so much for taking time out of your evening to call in tonight. We
wonderful
appreciate
testimony.
It. Wonderful.
Well, thank you. And y'all have
thank
a blessed
you.
Night.
You too,
and
Sherry.
Bye.
That was awesome. I love that. That was great.
I think that was for somebody. I
honestly believe it was.
I sit here with chill bumps, Sherry.
Because the reason I think, I honestly 100% feel it was for somebody, without a doubt, was we had made a plan on how this episode was going to go. And we'll cover that. We'll get to it. Don't get me wrong. But the plan for this episode, and I even said it before Sister Sherry called in there, was we're going to name this episode The Notebook. Because we were going to go into Sarah and Jeremiah's testimony and the great blessing of God putting them together. But that notebook, if we tell the story the way that the story was going to go, that notebook, I'm sure, was going to be glossed over with the lovely facts, the blessing parts. But this kind of opens the door, and I thank Sherry so much for saying what she said.
Yes.
Because it opens the door to another side of that story for not only myself, but also parts that Jeremiah and I have discussed. And that is simply just the fact that when that loneliness creeps in and that old heathen, that slyfoot devil starts talking, the stuff that fills our heads.
Yep.
And we're gonna go down a rabbit hole right here real quick. For those that don't know the dynamic here, Sarah and Jeremiah are what the three of us have been true amigos since the beginning. The first time I ever met Jeremiah, he was hanging off a ladder on the side of a business putting up a light. He thought I was the craziest individual that ever was. And then I used to, it kills me to say this, but I used to not be able to stand Sarah. I thought she was some uppity, snot-nosed brat. I couldn't stand her. And, but we become the great dynamic. And, it's funny when they don't come to church, I get asked, where's Sarah and Jeremiah? I don't come to church. They get asked, where's Austin? And, but Sarah and Jeremiah are married. I was honored to be able to sit there and witness that exchange of nuptials. And they put on one heck of a wedding reception. I'll tell you, food was great. also did some of the planning and the decorating for said wedding against my better judgment.
Set up.
But thanks to the flower shop that we are all three tied to, which is family of Jeremiah's. But, you know, Sarah and Jeremiah, I look at them and I am beyond jealous of what they have together and the blessing that they have. And it sounds bad to say that you're jealous of somebody's blessing, but the things that I have prayed for is the things that Sarah and Jeremiah have. And I don't want to go too in-depth and take away from their time to tell you what God's done for them. But I think with Sister Sherry bringing in the topic of discussion of the wickedness that we deal with,
it fits.
This really does fit. Because there are a lot of people that will listen to this that may be in my shoes, mm-hmm. and they're praying for their spouse. They're praying for that person. They don't know who it is, but they're still praying that they'll come into their life. And then there's people like Sarah and Jeremiah that are now seeing their prayers become fruition and having what they prayed for. But it's not always a bed of roses.
Mm-mm.
It's not always easy. And I'm sure that they fight with the same nastiness that, you know, a single people fight with, for lack of a better. But I cannot thank you, Sherry, enough for that. As time progresses, I'm sure we will go more in depth on all three of our testimonies. And they all cover in that right there. I'm going to save that phone call just so that we can have it for a later day.
Yes.
But I'm going to pass it over to them, to Sarah and Jeremiah, and let them kind of continue with that how they please. But I love that that went in the direction that it did. So,
buddy, let me tell you something. This episode being called The Notebook, Sarah can lay down. She well, for a lot of times, guys don't get it right all the time. We
hey now, some of us try.
Some of us try, and some of us kind of. The guys are not known for getting into their feelings when it comes to their significant other, but I am proud to say that I am married to Miss Sarah Cadell. And we knew each other in high school. We knew each other in elementary school. We went to the same elementary school, went to the same high school, middle school, you name it.
Yeah.
Sarah was always there. But at the time when I was mm-hmm. growing up, I was a bit of a wild kid. Not crazy wild, but, you know, and then, you know, turning 18, graduating high school and different things, you know, I was fighting some demons and fighting some different things and different stuff. And my biggest fight was a mental fight. I believe I fought that fight from the time I was 18 until I was 27 years old when the good Lord, when the good Lord rescued me. He delivered me out of the mouth of a roaring lion, as it says in 2 Timothy 4:17. That is my testimony as to me. That is my testimony as to my wife, Sarah. Whenever me and her got together, I had finally at 27, surrendered to God, surrendered fully. Now, some of you may be sitting there and thinking, well, yeah, whenever I went and prayed at the altar, I surrendered. Yeah, well, it took a little longer for me. I was struggling with some mental health issues and depression and anxiety and a few times of suicide attempted. And I had to surrender fully to God for help in that area of my life. And when I did, God began to open doors in my life that I never thought possible. He began to show me that I could be loved and that I could love someone else.
And you do it well.
Well, not everybody, we're not all perfect. I'm not perfect. Sarah's not perfect. Austin's not. None of us are perfect.
Right now, I'm pretty close to it.
But back to that, you know, I just love Sarah the way, in a way that I never thought I'd be able to love somebody else. And I can't look at Sarah right now because I'll start crying. Let's not do that. But the love that I feel for Sarah is the same love that God showed me when I got down on my knees and I asked Him to come in my life. And Isaiah, I thought you wouldn't cry. That's the same love I have for her. And some people that I've talked to that have been married for 4 or 5 or 10 years are like, well, you know, I don't have to see her every day, or I don't have to be with her every day. And, you know, there are days sometimes where, you know, we're not side by side with each other, and she'll be in the next room, and I miss her. I just miss being beside her. You know, that's a love that God gave me. Yes. God gave me that gift.
Austin is actually gagging.
It's getting sweet in here.
But in the name of Jesus, one day he will feel that same love.
He will feel that same love. He'll feel that. I don't know how to describe it. I'll be honest with you.
Heaven sent.
It is heaven sent. It's something I prayed for. I don't know if Sarah was praying for it. She's been praying for her husband.
I'll tell him about it.
And she'll tell you about it. I'm not going to take it from her because she's already like, don't you dare take it away. She'll say, I'll show you love. But, you know, whenever we first got, when we first got together, you know, God reminded me of this verse. And it was the first message I ever preached at Oak Ridge Church of God there in Canada Town. The verse was 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17. It says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known. Now, at the time when I met Sarah, I had been running from something that God had called me to do. He had called me to preach. He'd called me to preach from a very young age. And I got caught up in the, your dad's a preacher, so you're going to be a preacher. No, I got called to preach when I was 18 years old, and I ran from it from 18 to 27 years old. And I just, you know, I thought I could run from God. I apparently hadn't paid no attention in Sunday school, and then all them prophets were running from God, and God was putting them right back on the same path. But in that verse, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. I was delivered out of that mouth of the lion. That lion in my life was depression and anxiety and thoughts of suicide and hurting myself. And earlier this podcast, there was a lady that called in and talked about how she was in a situation where there felt like there was no return, and she was able to witness Austin had distracted me here for a minute. I mean, you guys, in case you didn't know, and it's very debilitating sometimes. But anyways, You know, I was delivered out of that mouth of the lion because in my life, the lion was the anxiety. The lion was the depression. The lion was the running from God. That lion kept me from going any further. And I'm so thankful for my wife. She's my best friend. I hope that if you're not married and that if you're with somebody, I hope that one day you can feel what I feel for Sarah, because I'm telling you, when God reached down and touched my heart and restored me, he gave me a love not just for him and to do his work, but also to love her.
Oh, that's so sweet, Jeremiah. Well, I wanted to tell a little bit about myself and, you know, our testimony that we have together. It starts with my testimony. When I was saved at 13 years old, I've always loved the Lord. I've always wanted to live for him. And as soon as I could, I felt like I, you know, was at the age and I'm not bragging by no means whatsoever. It's just, that's the life I wanted. My parents lived that life. My aunts and my uncles lived that life. And I knew that this is a good life. Being a Christian is a good life. And that's what I wanted. But when I was saved at the young age of 13, and I was filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost at 16, and that he has been my, you know, my strength, my teacher, my leader, my guide. But as soon as I was saved, you know, like I said, I was raised in a Christian home. My parents gave a wonderful example of a marriage. They loved each other, and they still do. I'm very thankful for the example that they have set for me. But at the age of 13, it may seem young to some people, but I started praying for a husband. I knew that that's what I wanted. I wanted a family. I wanted a home together, and I may choke up, so just look out for me.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, y'all, one day's life was I went and got on tissues because they're over here blabbering and crying. So, I mean, I figured I'd give them some snot rags before they get down the snot. The floor don't need to be slick.
He can always make us laugh, Austin. But anyways, I set out praying, you know, for a husband because I just didn't want any old person to marry. I wanted who God had for me because I had goals in life. I wanted a Christian home. I wanted a Christian family because I knew that that was the life for me. So I started praying, and it didn't come easy. I didn't get married until I was 26. So, you know, 13 years of praying, a lot of people came my way, a lot of men that, you know, said they were in church just because. To any young girls out here that may be listening, just because a guy says that they go to church does not mean that they are the one for you and that they are a Christian. It doesn't mean that you need to get entangled with that person. Pray and seek God. I guess when I was about 16 or 17, and I remember this prophecy that I received at a church out of Pineville, Kentucky, Mayfield Pentecostal Church, this brother prophesied to me and said, you know, the gist of it is that the Lord had somebody for me and that I needed to be patient. And that has happened, you know, several times throughout my young life when I was praying for a husband. But he just kept reminding me, you know, be patient. Wait on the one that I have for you. And so many times the devil tried to veer me off of that track. And so many times the stories that I could tell you, I was put through the wringer. So, you know, if I hadn't been praying, if I hadn't been prayed up and, you know, had the Holy Ghost as my leader, my life would have been not what it is right now. I would have been in a world of a mess because, you know, some of these church boys, they're not your husband. So I'm giving the advice to any young girls, just to pray. Really, you have to pray. That's a huge decision. That's one of the most important decisions of your life, is who you will marry. It will affect every part of your life. But another thing, it's funny that Austin named this podcast The Notebook, because I felt like from a young age is one of the things that I've done to help, not really cope, but to sort of pray, but I had this notebook, and I wrote my prayers in, and letters, they're laughing at me, but it is what it is. I wrote letters to my future husband.
Oh, come on, it's sweet. I mean, I don't know about anybody. Some of us sick of the dog to hear that. Oh, but seriously, I mean, you can, I mean, on your first wedding anniversary, our first wedding anniversary, mm-hmm. you know, we were just excited to have a home yeah. and to have things, you know, but on my wedding night, you know, and on our wedding,
our honeymoon.
Honeymoon. Yeah, I can't get to think of the word. See, I'm not very.
I was going to get to that, Jeremiah.
Our honeymoon.
Yeah.
I got to read the letters that yes. she wrote to me.
So I had put them in a little box. A decorated little, it's a pretty box. And I just kept them in there. You know, times when I was so defeated and thought I was going to spend the rest of my life alone at my mom's house in the basement. Times that I thought I would never, ever, ever meet somebody. The times that I was discouraged and just wanted to quit and questioning God, where is my person? Is there anybody? Do you have somebody for me? This went on for 13 years. But I just kept writing those letters and I knew that one day when, you know, that was a present to Jeremiah, this box of letters. I'd say there's probably like 30 or 35.
There's a lot of them.
And we read those.
Yep.
We sat on the balcony of our, we rented a condo in Navarre Beach. And he read those letters to him because they were for him. He was my husband. No other person, no other guy had the, you know, the advantage of reading those letters because they were solely for Jeremiah. And also, I just want to say that this might be another episode, but okay, we won't go there.
These troubled waters. Go ahead.
But sure. Just keep yourself pure, undefiled for that one person because it's worth it. It is. Because God has someone for you.
Yes.
And you may be laughing over there, Austin, and be thinking, no, it's never going to happen to me. I was once in your shoes. I thought, you know, everybody around me is getting married. Everybody is so happy. And I'm just sitting here. What's wrong with me? You know, so many times I've thought, what's wrong with me? Why isn't God giving me what I want? I thought I'd be an awesome wife, you know. I can cook, I can clean, and the girls that were that couldn't cook, couldn't bake homemade biscuits, that couldn't make cornbread, they were getting married, and I just did not understand. But the Lord, He always has a way of teaching us. Everything is for a reason, because the wait, the 13 years that I waited and prayed and cried and my mom and dad, that I probably drove them nuts. I know I drove my mom nuts. but that was the Lord preparing me to appreciate my husband now. The 13 years that I agonized and fasted and prayed, that's He taught me. He said, you know, it took a long time for me to bless you with a husband. And, you know, I appreciate Jeremiah so much. He's so kind. He's so thoughtful. He will give the shirt off of anybody's back, off of his back for anybody. He is the husband that I prayed for. He's the man of God that I prayed for. He provides for his family. He is the answer to my prayer. So, with that being said, if you are praying for a spouse,
Sarah, I hate to interrupt. We have somebody calling in.
Okay, great.
Hello? Hello? Can you hear us? Hello? Can you hear us? Shayla,
yeah.
Can you?
Yeah.
Awesome. Lord, we got the Shaylinator on the podcast tonight.
You're a little muffled.
And we will be just a little muffled on our end, but that's just so that we can hear you clearly when you speak.
Okay.
All right. So, if you want to testify, or you can, before Shayla gets started, though, Shayla, thank you for calling, because the rabbit hole that we were going down was the testimony of your brother and sister-in-law getting married, and it was about ready to make me hurl over here.
Listen, we're thankful for Sarah and Grandma that they ended up together.
Love you, Shayla.
I love you all.
So we were wondering if you would like to just tell us a little bit about your testimony or anything that you had on your heart to share. We're so glad that you called in.
Well, I called in because Jeremiah kind of made me.
Well, say something good for the Lord today, sis.
I'm thankful for my family and our church family. And us moving, we're moving this coming week, and I'm thankful for our, I don't know, like everyone helping us.
Yes.
Yes.
We're grateful.
That's awesome. We do thank you for calling in tonight. We've just been recording away. I thought, oh, Austin was going to puke a little bit ago. Let's talk about our love story. But he's all right now, yes.
I don't want to jump ahead of you, Shayla, but you do have a wonderful testimony about Emerson. So I don't know if you want to speak on that just a few minutes. Or a few sentences about, you know, the, you know, how she came to be. The struggle, yes, sis.
So in 2022, I had a really bad surgery that kept me open for over a year and a half. And we got pregnant with Emmy, and I healed, and she healed me in more than one way.
Yes, she has. She is an angel. Yes.
She's the cutest little thing. I love that baby.
I do love it. I love Emmy Kate.
She's so sweet. She is a blessing from the Lord.
Yes.
Straight from the Lord.
Yes,
she
is.
Yes.
Oh, we are. So I'm actually just so proud of you, because, you know, this is a big step for you, stepping way out of your comfort zone and, you know, stepping out on faith, and that's awesome. I know it's hard to do. It was really hard for me when I first started speaking out and stepping out in faith and church and different things. And, you know, we started this episode with someone calling in talking about the mind and how it can just keep you bogged down and wore out. And I know you have a testimony, and you may not want to talk about it tonight, and that's okay. But I just want to say I'm so proud of you for stepping out and calling in tonight. And I hope you have the best night and you wake up tomorrow morning rested and not stressed, and God just holds favor over you and just continues to bless you and Blake, because you all deserve it. You deserve to be happy. You deserve happiness. You deserve to not have to worry about everything going on. And I just love you. I love Blake. I love Emmy Kate. Don't ever feel like you're the only one standing there waiting for the rain, waiting for God to move in situations. We love you. We love you so much. And we'll do anything in the world we can for you. But thank you for calling in. Thank you for stepping out. And we love you, okay?
You're welcome.
All right.
We love you.
Bye.
So glad Shayla came in, swooped in, and saved the day. But now I guess we got to get back to this mushy-gushy story, I'll give it back over to these two and let them continue.
I'll wrap it up really quickly because it's almost my bedtime. But the Lord, He answered my prayer of a godly husband. He really came through for me in a great way. And I think, you know, He has a lot in store for us. We have prayers, many prayers before Him with, you know, we desire to have children and it's just not His time yet. But there's not been a prayer that the Lord has not answered for me yet. And I don't think He's going to start now. So I'm thankful for Jeremiah, thankful for our testimony, how we reconnected after high school. We hadn't talked to each other in years. But the Lord has ways of getting His plan accomplished in ways that, you know, sometimes wouldn't expect. But if there's one thing I love to talk about, it's how God has always been faithful to me and how He brought me my Jeremiah. And I love Jeremiah's family. I married into a wonderful, wonderful family, a wonderful Christian family that raised Jeremiah to love the Lord. And I'm so thankful for Hoyt and Katrina, how they raised him in the house of the Lord. And I hope that one day they can be on the podcast. But I'll let Jeremiah speak a few words, but that's really my testimony.
Yeah. Sarah has said everything that I needed to say, but a little bit more about me, about my background. You know, Sarah touched on hers. You know, she was raised a lot differently than I was, as far as faith and church and things like that. You know, my mom and dad, they adopted me when I was 6 years old. And my mom and dad had the heart and the faith of servants. They chose me. And whenever I was a kid, you know, I would get made fun of because I was adopted. And, you know, I'd let that bother me. But then my mom sat me down. She's like, "We chose you." Them other kids, you know, they didn't get to choose them kids. They just, it was like, yeah, well, we'll see what happens, you know. But my mom and dad, you know, they provided me and my sister Shayla with a loving family. My mom and dad, they've been married since 1987. And I'm sure they've had their challenges with raising me, but they provided a environment where God was number one, church was number one, and, you know, family was at the heart of it all. I wouldn't be the man that I am today if it weren't for those two very awesome people, my mom and dad. They are the best. My mom instilled in me a long time ago when I was a child that, you know, no one should ever be left out. No one should ever have to feel like they've been left out of something. And, you know, as a kid, you know, that's sometimes a hard thing to teach. But she would, all, like, if for, like, prime example was, if she ever sent me with a snack, she'd send enough snacks for everybody because she never wanted anyone to feel left out. And I've carried that into adulthood, and I still do that as an adult. I always want to make sure that the person next to me is, has something, or if they need something, you know, that's the kind of thing that they instilled in me at a very young age. And, you know, I was saved at age 9 at a youth revival. We had a youth service at Corbin Gospel Temple where we still attend now. You know, I was brought into that church at 6 years old. I got saved in that church. I was baptized in that church. I was married in that church, and I have preached in that church. You know, there's been a lot of change for me in that church. I have, you know, God has blessed me abundantly with this walk that I have with Him. He's blessed me beyond what I would have ever expected out of it. He has blessed me beyond compare. And I am so thankful to have that church and to have those everything continue on with my marriage with Sarah, because, you know, we became are members of that church. We were married in that church. I accepted the call to preach in that church. My mom, dad, our pastor, you know, we're all family. When I go in that church and I stand on that pool behind the pulpit, you know, I'm just reminded of where God has brought me from. You know, you hear a lot of times people talk that there's a song that is an older song. It was I went down a beggar and came up a millionaire, and that has never been more true, because I felt like whenever I came back to Christ when I was 27 that I was nothing but rags. But whenever I came up from that pulpit, that altar, that morning place, when I came up from there, the lights were brighter, and God had restored me in a way that I never thought possible. Medicine in my life could never do that. Depression medicine, anxiety medicine, sleeping medicine. And don't get me wrong, I still have some issues with my childhood, the way it was before I came to my mom and dad, before they adopted me. There was a lot of different things that were chains that were holding me down. But whenever God came in, when God stepped on the scene, He took charge, He took control, and He fixed my mind, and He fixed my heart, and He fixed me in a way so that I could love my wife, that I could be the husband that she wanted me, that she had prayed for. Because, you know, there's a lot of things that, you know, go on in the world today, and it's a crazy, crazy world, because, you know, people are getting married and then they're getting divorced, and they're like, I didn't even know this person. But I know Sarah. I know that she loves me. I know that I love her. And I know that what we have here is only going to get stronger. What we're building here is only going to get bigger. And I couldn't do that with, and I'm going to make a little segue into this, you know, I couldn't do that without our very capable and very awesome Austin sitting here next to us tonight. You know, I couldn't do half the things. I couldn't fight half the battles that I fight if it wasn't for Austin, because we are true battle buddies. We have been born in the battle.
Don't let him fool you. He's only saying that because of the torment of having me to sit here and listen to all this.
But, you know, Sarah, she talks about how she prayed for 13 years. She prayed for 13 years. She wrote letters every day for 13 years praying for her husband. You know, she has the faith of just insurmountable faith of God moving mountains for her. If all of us could take one tenth of that 13 years and apply it to our daily life, you imagine where we'd be sitting at right now, where we'd be standing with God right now. We took one tenth of that 13 years and applied it to anything that we want, we ask of God. We could do anything. We could conquer any mountain. We could look at the mountain and say, move. So if I could help somebody else out, or if I could say something that would, you know, encourage you, I would say that to find you someone that loves you the way she loves the Lord. And pray for them, that would pray for you the way you pray to the Lord. Because when you have that, when you have somebody like that, that can love you and pray for you and only want the best for you, you have got it made. And for those of you that don't have that yet, God didn't say, I'm not going to do that for you. He didn't say, I can't do that for you. He said, wait. He says, wait for that person that'll pray for you. And the wait for that person that's going to write those letters to you. Wait. Just hold on just a little bit longer.
I just want to close with this thought that somebody had told me while I was deep in the trenches of singleness.
Hey, now, them trenches ain't that deep. They're pretty comfortable, thank you.
Well, that he wouldn't have given you the desire of a marriage if he didn't have a plan to fulfill it.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't put that desire in your heart to be a godly wife or a godly husband if he didn't know exactly how to make it happen. So that has helped me on a few days, and it may help you, and I hope it does.
Yes. And I just want to thank all of you for listening tonight. Sorry if we got a little gush for some of our single people. Austin. But it's all in God's time and God's plan. We want to thank all of you for listening to tonight's podcast. We want to thank all of our callers that called in tonight. May God bless you and each and everything that you do. A bit of housekeeping. You can follow us on Facebook. And it is at The Pulpit. Is that correct, Austin? Yes, it is. And our website is theunscriptedpulpit.com. That is where you can find all of our information on there. All of where we are streaming to, all of the platforms that we are on, and there is a contact us portion of the website where if you want to be on our show, there is a QR code you can scan, and it will direct you to a form that you fill out and you agree to be on the show. We would love to have you. And we would love for you to be a part of our ministry here, because it's not just us building this. It's every one of us, every one of our listeners. You are a part of the show, too. We are unscripted for a reason, because we let the Holy Spirit lead us in a way that would be fulfilling to the internal mission, which is leading other people to Christ. I'm going to turn this over to Austin, because he is a lot better at this stuff than I am. But you all, thank you all for listening. God bless you, and may God continue to bless you.
And on the next episode, we'll have an episode called The Notebook Ripped in Half, the untold story of when Sarah burns the cornbread and how loving they are then. I'm just kidding. I have to give y'all some grief. But again, as Jeremiah said there, first of all, we thank both of them for their opportunity and their testimony, no matter how sickening it is to some of us, but that's a story for another day. Again, check us out online at www.theunscriptedpulpit.com. If you'll go to the Where to Listen tab, you'll find links to our Facebook page, or Facebook The Pulpit, as well as all the other platforms. We're on iHeartRadio, Pandora, Amazon, Apple Podcasts, all the different platforms. We are so blessed to be able to have this opportunity to speak with you all. Again, we thank you, those that called, we thank you for that. As Jeremiah said, this ain't just our show. We might be the mouth of it and the brains behind it, but this is just as much your opportunity to spread God's word as much as it is ours. That's why we have that phone line, means for you to reach out to us. We're no secret. But again, check us out online. Check us out on our social media. Give us a like, a share, a follow. Rate these podcasts. Give them a good star rating when you go listen to them. We'd greatly appreciate that. That helps us grow. But again, we thank you all for listening. And as we close out every podcast, remember to always walk with Jesus.
Well, tell his goodness.
Tell his goodness.
Come on, testify.
Testify.
If God's been good to you,
tell his goodness.
You ought to testify.
Testify.
Can I get a witness?
Tell his goodness.
goodness.
Get up,
get up.
Somebody shout glory.
Tell of his goodness.
Get up.